Susan Briscoe is our next reader. Susan Briscoe's first book of poetry was published by Signal Editions of Vehicule Press in the spring of 2010. She has been shortlisted for the CBC Literary Awards and has won the Lena Chartrand Award. She lives in Montreal and Sutton, Quebec. Can I get a big hand, please, for Susan Briscoe?
This is a long cycle of poems. They're not titled. It goes through a year, so I'm going to just read a selection from beginning to end. It's about a marriage, a very difficult marriage. It's sad. It's very sad. Pardon? It's not all sad. There are moments that hopefully you will notice where the mood lifts a little bit. It starts a bit dark. An icy mist. No mountains this morning. The world is a smaller circle. Look closer. Ribbons of deer tracks strung across the snow. And three brown apples that never fell. Your traps all along the edges. Spring in the subtlest colors of winter, faint pink of maple, gold tinge of birch, yet spruce almost black against the whitest grays. We wake to a field mouse, soft brown fur and clean white belly. I could skin the whole family, stitch pretty mittens. So cold the house cracks loud as solid lake. Deer in the morning dark huddled at the cedar. They must eat or freeze. Seems impossible their cloven hooves don't draw the ice up into their bones, still their hearts. How do I not find chickadees scattered hard as marbles on the snow? It's a lot colder in Quebec than it is in Toronto. I've not pockets enough for all this. Had grown used to a frugal life. Kisses like slim dimes slipped into a click-shut purse. Notes of promise worn thin as lint. With you, I pull out every pot and bowl, fill them all to spilling. That was one of the happier ones. A fox runs across the yard, across the street, and another yard. Winter thin and shabby in her red furs, she whisks her tail and tosses her head, chasing the glitter of sunlight on spring snow. She is on fire, so alive, every tip of fur alive. That was also a happy one. We have learned nothing from the songbirds. You have brought me shiny bits and baubles, a crow's cache of electronics and appliances, things with instructions and six scripts, chainsaw, lawnmower, weed whacker, winter tires, and summer too, in fact, the whole car. But not once have you danced, and I have yet to hear you sing. Overnight, the grass is green, the hills eased into a hazy blue. It's warm enough for mating. Birds pour notes from wide throats, roll round vowel sounds, the bedroom window open. Five a.m. and whole flocks in concert. A sudden hush over the birds. Snow. This winter is relentless. Across the pasture, pale green glances through the falling veil. And already, next year's firewood dumped in the yard. Our day's work to stack, make order, I must teach you to buttress the rose. Yesterday's work undone in a slow collapse, a cascade of split logs rejecting the tension of near balance. There is more rest in their sprawl, the resumption of chaos. You resist, want this to be easier. There is no echo of slammed door. No, you slip out so quietly. The courting cardinals, whose songs I attend, never falter. The transcription is intact. Yet the rattling in my skull builds to a dense thrum, louder than the dump trucks carting away the hills. An accumulation, each small catching of latch. It incapacitates. You'd expect a resurrection of sorts, what with daffodils and forsythia trumpeting their loudest yellows, a ruckus of jays in the yard. But the top of the mountain is still dark with winter. Green creeps slowly up the north slope. I measure its progress across days, weeks, listing gifts offered that I have failed to receive. Spring has spilled its most beguiling perfumes, honeysuckle, lilac, lily of the valley, all at once, luring me down to a clover bed to breathe in, with you if you would, while the apple tree swings its hips and hums. The sun lobs great gobs of sunshine, huge fistfuls aimed at the good dads, throwing baseballs, tossing babies, chasing bikes and strollers, the weekend wheels whirling, spinning through Saturday, Sunday, the sun, the dads with little satellites hurling yellow all around, blinding us, knocking us down. That was my bitter single mother poem. Oh, your furious daughter, and a son out of orbit, their mother mooning around her Mars. Between this calamitous reconstellation and my latest unfinished essay, Diversion, Inversion, and Perversion, Sexual and Textual Subversive Strategies Against the Discomfort of Dichotomy in Ross, Cohen, and Engel, no wonder you have fled, head spinning to the city, rented an apartment far too small for us all. Pinned to the pillow, a note, you are loved. Okay, but enough. Dangling from the birch, a certain leaf says sorry. I could pluck it, slip it amongst your socks. Another says don't go. But there, fuck you, waves its guiltless green. The tree rustles a thousand leaves, all the possible paper notes, words for endings or continuings. Under the willow, mulling over who loves or is unloved. A nuthatch so near it startles at my gaze, glossed eye dark as a beetle grub unearthed, yours of sky after rain. It's the wrong question, I know. In these silvering leaves are answers, but we can't figure out what to ask. There's a hole in the yard. Yesterday I wielded the spade, dug at it some more, eyed its depth, paced its span, satisfying work. A robin watched from the swing set. My boy now and then stood by. There are things he could do with a hole this size. Every day of your absence I dig. If you don't come soon, the garden will be gone. Certainly, this is not the way it is done. The distance between each side of our marital bed reaches 100,000 meters, from baked urban brick to cool Appalachian wood, across every binary we could think of. Saboteurs, we two, stretching our tenuous bond like my boys, their elastics aimed at the eyes. The late awaited summer swaggers in, a curtain call without the play. Dazzled, the garden drinks the sun like liquid, undiluted. The asparagus thrusts new shoots, the magnolia opens new blooms. But heat trips us into irritation beyond an itch, a rash of hives, bouquet of stinging nettles, wild rose, and water lilies dripping mud from the pond. Your complaint, invisibility. It is hard to see you across the hectares of corn leaching the lowlands between this hill and the city squatting in its river, I argue, just to win. Were I honest, I'd admit to being deaf as well as blind. We have become abstractions, a theory of opposites, or a conversation looped back on itself, the half-twisted telephone wire, a Mobius strip. We pass each other on the bridge, commuting in contrary streams of traffic. This seems an incident of portent, a moment of unexpected recognition, our exuberant waving. We reach for cell phones, but what is there to say? It's already over, our back-to-back distance increasing exponentially, that fleeting nearness, a rear-view gaze already lost. The coyotes are coming down from the mountains where the hunting has grown thin. They set the valley dogs to barking, hard monotones like stones the size for throwing. Last year, they got the cats, fattened on a daily breakfast of birds. Their ambush devised, practiced, refined, the clever executions, hard shakes, snapped necks, a quick dispatch and clean. The limbs can't hold them all past ripe. Dropped, apples roll down the hill, gathering bruises, fill the ditches with sweet rot to get the skunks and raccoons Friday night drunk. Not that we would have eaten after the disfiguring worms. You buy a bag of perfect apples, and we don't have any fun. Cold, bare-handed work, fingers rooting for old rhizomes and bulbs, white tentacles disentangled, divided, replanted, spring's sun-tipped flowers turned broody, inward. Irises are pale crustaceans, the hyacinth a scrotal half. Mallow's taproot, spine-like, persistent, has drilled deeper than I can dig. I bring them all in, relics of fertility. Brittle twists of sweet pea pods and pepper shaker poppies all shaken, Fibonacci swirls of pine cone and other things to count, sumac plumes remember flaring red from limb tips, how birds flocked. A bloated, belly-up frog of a moon floats out from the underworld, dragging its sallow beam across wind-scraped snow. It is following me home, weaving like a drunk from one side of the highway to the other, when you call, as you always do, to remind me of your love, because of course I've forgotten again. It is at the top of the sky, shimmering in skimmed milk virtue. A decade after my divorce, the first Christmas card is always from my lawyer. A likely repeat client, she must figure. Elegant, expensive, I stand it on the mantel, hail the season of peace and love. You object, of course, can't accept that not every gift will be exactly what we always wanted. You're back to me, the line of mountain, a scarlet sun pinched out by bands of iron cloud. They win too easily. Hard, red-knuckled rain will rub out the snow, remind us that the humblest plants, heart's ease, time, are evergreen, winter, a breath held. Finally, disappearing, I see you. Not metaphor or memory or the mirage of word, just a man wanting to be seen. Now the solstice sun leans low, reaches in to pull long shadows, bleached streaks across the floor, touches insides, undersides, leads the gaze away from itself, illuminates, recedes. Thank you very much.
Could I get another big round of applause for Susan Briscoe?